Minnesota Reads, a regular feature of Thursdays here on Northland Morning. And this morning, our guest is Sherry Register. She's the author of a book called The Big Marsh, The Story of a Lost Landscape. Sherry, good morning, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about the story. First, I think you need to kind of describe the marsh, and then I'm anxious to find out about how you discovered a real personal connection to what was going on there.
Okay, well, I knew that there had been a place called Rice Lake in the eastern part of Fribourn County that had been drained for farmland in the 1920s. I didn't know that it had been part of an 18,000-acre wetland, which is one of the largest wetlands in southern Minnesota, that had been drained after a quite contentious fight between local farmers who lived around it and some out-of-town real estate developers who came up with the idea of draining the whole thing. And by ditching out a natural creek that flowed out of the wetland. And I'm finding now that other people didn't know this story either. It's been kind of lost in the past. But I happened upon it when I was reading a farmer labor newspaper from 1935 on a totally different project. And I came upon a story called Connivings of Dishonest Men Cheat Nature as Well as Fellow Beings. And the author of this kind of provocative essay was my great-grandfather. And I knew he had written poetry and a few essays, but I didn't know about this one. And so the story just kept possessing me, and I kept running into other hints of it in strange places. And I had to figure out what happened. So I did research over a 9-year period to piece the story together. And here it is, finally out.
So there was his reaction to what was going on way back in 1935. How did you feel the story was relevant and kind of carried itself forward into 2016?
Well, agricultural drainage is the big story of southern Minnesota, of Iowa, Illinois, this whole Midwestern corn and soybean producing region. That used to be marshy, somewhat. Fribourn County, where the story is set, was very marshy. It was high land that was carved out by the glacier, and so it was covered with wetlands pretty much everywhere. And so we don't know what used to be our landscape. I've talked to people who've grown up in this area who don't know that there's a whole plumbing system underneath the soil of a drain tile. Recently, it has come more into public consciousness with the discovery of the pollution in the Minnesota River and down the Mississippi and the dead zone in the Gulf of Mexico, which we contribute to. So there's been more awareness that this whole system of drainage tile and of ditches drains off soil, nutrients, fertilizer, pesticides, everything that's on the soil into our rivers. And it's still a very contentious story that pits farmers against environmentalists and gets the governor in hot water, or polluted water, you might say.
This is still an issue in rural communities where there's kind of a limited economic base, where folks kind of do one thing. And, of course, we experience that up here in the Northland also. How can communities, or can communities, fight these interests that want to come in or take over? Or does it become instead a conversation about we need to preserve our community and we need this infusion of cash?
Well, the infusion of cash is not helping out these rural communities all that much. I mean, the distribution of that cash is not always local. We have the big industrial agricultural companies like Monsanto and Cargill and Archer Daniels Midland and others who, you know, have their own superstructures that need the high pay and the profits, and so some of the money gets funneled out in that way. I think what kept the communities functioning previously was a more diversified kind of farming, dairying, beef cattle, crop farming. It has become monoculture or dioculture, whatever, with corn and soybeans and little else being grown. And so if people, and there are people in Fremont County who are breaking up that pattern somewhat with some organic farming, with producing other things, especially in this particular region where the big marsh used to be. So it needs a whole examination of who benefits from this very, very industrialized, fertilized, pesticided sort of monoculture.
Sherry, one last thing I'm curious about. Kids are not staying on the farm anymore. They're going away. And so for farmers, what are their options other than perhaps selling to big ag? What else can they do?
Well, I mean, it is a huge structural problem. And if there can be better land distribution, I mean, farms have gotten so large. Much of the land is owned externally and leased out to the people who farm it. If there could just be a different distribution of land that would allow people to sustain themselves on smaller pieces with more diversified agriculture. You know, I don't have the magic touch, and my book is mostly historical. I'm just telling the story of how this began to come about. So I don't propose solutions in the book, but I think we need to have a very broad and unbiased public discussion of these things that doesn't put the blame on the local farmer, which is often how it ends up, and they feel very beleaguered. But people who live in these communities also need to be heard. What are their needs? How can they sustain themselves? How can they keep their children still living in what is home, which is still feels like home to me, too, even though I left?
Sherry, thank you so much for taking a few minutes this morning to talk to you about your book. It is a fascinating read. Thanks again for being our guest.
Thank you.
Sherry Register is the author of The Big Marsh, our featured book this morning on Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.